So here's the question. What is going on inside of the minds of top influencers and business professionals that are causing them to excel in their career and in life? My name's Tim Scherer. You're listening to Psychological Secrets for Skyrocketing Your Business, and the answers you've been seeking are in this podcast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us on the program. Today, we have a very exciting guest, Cheryl Mathis. She is a fabulous reporter, and she's very gifted at helping people to craft their media pitches and get on TV. She's created so much experience from being a TV reporter in multiple states. She's been on a whole bunch of TV shows, and she's a published author and an entrepreneur, and she's taken her skills both from being on both sides of the microphone, whether she's interviewing people or she's being interviewed, and she's taken her skills and her gifts, and she's sharing them with people who want to get their message out into the world. And so, Cheryl, thanks so much for being on the program today.
Oh, Tim, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So can you tell us a little bit about how you started and where you got to where you are today?
You know, It started when I was a kid and really didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life, but I was in 4-H, and I don't know how popular that still is now, but I was taking all the normal classes, especially the ones that girls take, like cooking and sewing, which never really struck with me. I think I did it more to please my mom, or partly just kind of thought, oh, it was what I thought all girls were supposed to do. And I did them, and I had fun as far as I was socializing with friends, but they still didn't truly resonate with me. But it was one year all of a sudden, either I just happened to notice it, it was probably always there, but they had one of their workshops or so was about, they just called it presentation. And I was like, I wonder what that's about. And so you basically would demonstrate something in front of a panel of judges. And so I made this horrible macrame bracelet and necklace, but I enjoyed the presentation part so much that I won, and then I got selected to be on TV with it. So then I realized how much I love that, and I really think I give it all to 4-H. I think that was the start of it all, because until then I would not have had any idea that something like that could exist.
Yeah, 4-H is a wonderful organization. I have several clients being in Indiana, many clients who are part of cooperatives. And so I've worked with a lot of farmers and people who serve farmers. And, yes, they all feed America, right, and the world. And so,
exactly. 4-H, well, and my dad's a farmer, so it all kind of came full circle. You know, I think a lot of times, right, when you think of traditional methods, and that's sort of what they knew, and this was luckily a branch of what they offered.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm actually on the committee for the Future Farmers of America program in the big convention that they're having in Indianapolis, and so they really do a lot with leadership. And so you had your first experience with 4-H. It got you on TV and kind of took off from there. I mean, you've been grabbing the attention of Fox and Friends and Bravo and ABC News, and you've been on Sirius and the New York Times and Entrepreneur magazines and USA Today and on and on and on and on with all the things that you've done. So I'm going to toot your horn for you because I know how humble you are, right? But, so you started from humble beginnings and had that taste of TV. And so you jumped into the TV world. And what was it like being a reporter, a TV reporter?
It was glamorous, but also very grinding. And I think when people see news reporters, they just think, oh, how fun, and right, and that there's no stress. But along with the glamorous part of being in front of the camera comes a lot of responsibilities to be correct, to be on time, to be efficient, to deliver. So there's a host of things that really go along with that make it extremely challenging. But at the same time, I mean, I loved it. I loved every day, other than maybe the occasional school board meeting or something like that. That was a little more dry. You know, not every story is all exciting, but right. But it was everything and more that I really thought it would be. But I did discover, too, that I loved the stories that really seemed to tell other people's stories and share something exciting about their life or new that they were doing or challenging. So in the news business, that's called the feature reporter. And while a lot of people seem to clamor over trying to have that lead story, which is great, but I really didn't care about that. I would take the feature one every day of the week if I could. Mm-hmm. And if the news lended itself to it that day. Not every day are you able to include that nice, heartwarming story, you know, mm-hmm. and which would usually be at the very end of the newscast. But again, I was okay with that because, but I think it, we're all driven in different ways. And even though I think I am competitive in some aspects, for some reason, when it came to that, I was not competitive. I did not care if I didn't have the lead story. And I didn't have to be the star, you know, of the newscast. I was more than happy to tell the stories of others, which I think really lends itself more to where I got to is this part, is wanting to share other people's business stories, right? Or wanting people themselves to be able to share their business accolades or their new invention or their product or their service with others. Because I think if, you know, if we all make more of a focus on that and positive news and happenings today, it really is a great world that we live in. And I think it's when we hear those negative stories, we think the world is going down the hole, right? But it's really not. And there's more innovations every day. We live in the best time ever. So I think it's trying to keep a focus on what is positive and what is positive news and services and products that people really are bringing to the table today.
Absolutely. Well said. So was there a particular story? I know you've reported on many of them. Is there anything in particular that stands out for you?
Yeah, you know, there are, and they're always, again, they come back to, like, the quirky ones are the ones that you would least expect as far as from a news reporter. Mm-hmm. But two of them, even in particular, when I started at my very first station, there was a church that was needing to be rebuilt, and so they just had all these bricks delivered. But being generous like they were, they said, oh, here's this old pile of bricks that if anybody wants to come and take those, you're welcome to have them. Well, when people heard that, they came and they took them, but they took the good bricks through and not just the bad ones. Yeah. So all of a sudden you have this church who was trying to rebuild, and I can't recall if it was because they had a fire or something, but somebody had come and taken all their new ones, so I did a news story on it. It was like, you know, they would just like their bricks back. So basically it was the whole moral of the story. Like, you know, they're not going to ask your name, what have you, not going to punish you in any way, just please bring the bricks back. And lo and behold, by the next morning, they were all returned. So, it was just one of those nice stories where he's like, wow, you know, I actually made a difference, or I helped them achieve something that maybe just hopefully happened a little more quickly than it would have. But that one, and then I remember this lady who was in her 80s, and she had done a number of things in her life, but she had wanted to learn how to fly, and she got her pilot's license, and then she started flying the family around. They were all lawyers, and she would fly them to their depositions, like her children and her grandchildren, and I just thought that was really amazing. Like, here's this woman who is not giving up at whatever stage she is in life, but just decide, you know what, I'm going to go conquer this, and I'm still going to help my family out in other ways. And so I went up in the plane with her, which, you know, one part of me was thinking, this is a little scary.
Wow.
How long have you been flying? But but it was exciting, and I was excited for her. And she just had such an aura about herself that, mm-hmm. I mean, it stuck to me to this day, and that had to be more than 20 years ago. So I just loved being able to come across in people's paths like that and getting to be a part of their life journey and then also being able to share with others what's happening in their life journey.
Well, that's fabulous. So, you know, the nature of this program is understanding the psychology, the unconscious patterns that drive people that allow them to experience success both monetarily and also personally, you know, with the feeling of happiness and joy and gratitude for how they're spending their life. And you said a couple of things that were really important. One of them was to really share other people's story. Instead of you having to be the star, which is very ego-driven, you know, instead you were happy helping other people to share their stories so that you could make a bigger impact on your viewers. And I think that that's really powerful. A lot of people who are very happy and successful are very focused on serving others instead of just being in the spotlight. So whenever I start a leadership program, I always ask people, what makes a great leader? And two of the things that I've observed is that leaders, they shine. They're really good at shining, and they're really good at helping other people shine as well. And the more you can validate people and help them feel good, the more it naturally rubs off on you, and you become a part of that aura that you're talking about.
Oh, well, thank you. And great observation, and I'm and thanks for bringing that out, because it's, I think sometimes we get caught up just doing what we do and wondering if we make an impact, right? I mean, a lot of people may feel that way, thinking, oh, am I doing the right thing? Am I actually making a difference here? So thank you so much for that. And I'm sure there's a lot of other listeners, too, who I'm sure that can resonate with as well, that it's not all about the money, even though that definitely is nice to have that be a part of it, but it does seem like when you're doing what you love and you see the joy in others, it does really happen in you as well. So it's not like you're just sacrificing. You're getting just as much. And I would say I got just as much from those two stories as I did. You know, I've gotten to interview some pretty amazing people like Howard Stern and Rachel Ray and Cesar Millan. And while that's all well and good and extremely exciting, you know, I do think still with some of the other stories that almost stick with me more and just the impact of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good and exciting. And of course that makes me want to ask you about the Dog Whisperer and, and Fart Man.
Oh yeah.
You know, and all the people. Yes. And all those, stars. But before I do that though,
well,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted.
Everyone in suspense and listen in. I'd love to tell you a couple of things about them, but yeah, go ahead with you.
A cliffhanger, yes, that's right. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. That's really good too, Cheryl. That's the idea of, you know, you've got to, when you're presenting information, you got to hook people, right? You got to get them excited. You got to get them always wanting more, wanting the next thing. So that's really good. But just to review the last thing you said, you're just saying a lot of really great stuff. So I just want to reiterate it, is that it's important when you are out there on your own as a out in the business world, whatever capacity it is, whether you're working for somebody or you have people working for you, or, you know, you're self-employed, you know, you're a solo entrepreneur out there all by yourself trying to make things happen. It can feel very lonely, and you can often wonder, is what I'm doing actually mattering? Does it make any difference at all? And I think it's important that people are constantly being reminded of the value that they are bringing, and that what they're doing does make a positive difference. There's a ripple effect. You know, you just take one little pebble, the smallest little pebble, and you toss it out into a pond, and that tiniest little pebble creates this rippling effect that goes in all directions and moves all the way across the water. And every time you try to add value to the world, you're creating that ripple. And that's what I remind myself of when I'm talking into my phone, you know, doing another Facebook Live video or a YouTube video or something else. And sometimes I have a lot of engagement. Sometimes I'm just talking to myself. And I'm always hoping that there's somebody out there, just one person, that it's going to make a difference for. So I think that's lovely.
Great.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
and I forget about that too, that one little, pebble can lead to something much bigger, and it can feel awfully lonely at times. So, but that's what we're all here to support one another and lift one another up.
Well, I think God creates families of people that, even though we feel like we're individuals and by ourselves, there's like a family of entrepreneurs, a family of people who have the guts to throw security and safety out the window and strive for something bigger or more fulfilling or more satisfying, and often more stressful as well. Like you said, a lot of times people see the glamour side of it, but they don't see what's going on. It's like a very calm duck. You know, the duck looks very graceful spinning across the water, but you don't see the feet underneath kicking away.
And that's a great analogy. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what we are, right? These entrepreneur ducks, you know, kicking and swimming away and trying to make a difference. And so knowing that you're a part of that family, and the listeners to the show, you're a part of that family. And, you know, we're all in this together. So you're never, ever alone, even if it feels that way, because we're all in it together, making a difference. So is there anything in particular I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was going to say, I love that, because that's interesting that you bring that up as well, because just in the last couple of months, I've been including that in my women's group, Successful Women Made Here, where I tell them part of why it's important as a membership is because it is like being a family, and that they can lean on one another and know that they'll help hold each other accountable. And but I do think, other than like some other groups that may be more just in line with networking, that I do want mine to feel more like family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So was there anything in particular, you know, viewers or listeners want to know, when you were talking to Rachel Ray or Howard Stern or Cesar Romano about, you know, when you interviewed them, anything in particular come out, or a side comment or something that you got from them that maybe you weren't expecting before the interview?
Yeah, I have three things, and especially in the ones that you named. And when I lived in New York City, it was wonderful. I got to meet lots of people like that. But the three that you mentioned, so Rachel Ray, Cesar Milan, and Howard Stern, each had something different that I really remember about them. And it's so true when people say, you know, it's not necessarily what you say, but how you make others feel,
mm-hmm.
that the three of them both really left an indelible mark on me as far as just their true character, and I think who they are. And so first off, especially surprised me is Howard Stern, because I was going to this event and there were many other people to interview at that time or meet, and I know of his show. I've heard or seen glimpses, but really couldn't ever stay for very long because it's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. And so part of me is, I know I expected to not like him. I just thought he would be rude, arrogant, probably not even give us the time of day. But he was everything else but. So that was not him at all. And I would say, even out of all the celebrities I've met and people worth millions and millions of dollars, he was by far the most humble, the most engaging. And the things that I remember about him that I think really, you know, I try to still apply in things that I do, is he was really good at looking someone in the eye, making you feel like you mattered. You know, because I thought, okay, I'm just one of many people interviewing them that day. And it was, I started to ask him a question, and then his people kind of took him by the arm and like, oh, we need you over here, you know, sort of thing. And so even before he left, he was like, excuse me, I'll be back. And I'm thinking like, sure, you'll be back. But he went over, he did what he had to do. And then when he came back, he was like, I'm sorry, what were you asking? So I thought, he didn't need to do any of that. And yet he did. He made, it's almost as if it didn't matter whether, you know, for all I know, he'd known I could have been E, or I was this little person doing their own blog. Mm-hmm. So that he tended to treat everyone with respect, which, again, coming from him, was the last thing I would have expected. So I think sometimes people will surprise us, and we can't always be too quick to judge and assume. You know, assuming will lead you down oftentimes a wrong path. So being open enough, I think, as well, being open to what actually might happen. You know, and sometimes they'll validate your your assumption. But other times when they surprise you, then just go ahead and let go of that assumption quickly so that you can be open to them what could come from that. So that was really something I gained from him, just the genuineness, the truly caring, or so at least he made you feel that way. The thing with Cesar Millan, which was amazing, is I went to go shake his hand, and I haven't had this experience with anyone else since then, but I felt like in the moment I shook his hand, it was like this, I don't know, this feeling that went like from the fingers up to the arms, out through the head, that was just like, oh my God, what was that? Like, what? So he just has, we all have energy, right? We all put out different energy. But he really has some kind of energy around him. So then I thought, well, no wonder the animals respond to him, because they can just tell. That I think animals even go to much deeper lengths than what we can sense. They're so much more intuitive. Mm-hmm. But so I thought, wow, what is it that he has, and how can I get that? So I've been reading since then, like, books on charisma, or just, I think a lot of it, too, is just how we carry ourselves. And you go from two different people, right? So you got Howard Stern, who's very tall. Just being around, I forget exactly how tall he is, but being near him, he seemed like he was 6'5", 6'6", something like that, very tall, right, and has a presence in that way. But here's Cesar Millan, who is pretty much, I think we were looking eye to eye, and I even stretch it when I say I'm like 5'4". So much smaller man, doesn't seem like he'd have this great aura, but yet it's just on the way he still holds himself, the way he presents himself, but yet still very humble about it. And generally seem like he listens and cares as well. So those are like the qualities that I usually try to emulate from other people, or gather from them, or looking at what are their true characteristics. And then with Rachel Ray, it was very endearing as well. She really gave off the feeling that she cared. When I met her, she put her hand on my back, like between my shoulder blades, and then would turn and look at me, treated me like I was her best friend, even though we had just met. So I find those things really interesting, how when people do that. And I don't think it was just a put on. You know, that's probably how they are all the time. So I think when you can be the same way that you would be with anyone, that there's not this, oh, here's my on-camera way I'm going to treat you, and then here's my off-camera way. That I think when they can merge those two worlds, then you're your happiest, because you're expressing what it is that would really be most natural to you and you would just love to be able to do.
Wow, there's so many themes in there that I won't even be able to recap them all. So listeners are going to have to rewind this and listen again to all the nuggets that Cheryl just laid down for you, because there were a lot, right? So real charisma comes not from you trying to be all fancy, but it comes from how you make others feel around you, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times charisma comes just from being caring and compassionate, or being passionate about being around the person that's in front of you, right? And through a touch, or through eye contact, or through keeping your promise of saying, I'll be right back, and then coming back, right? And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're how tall you are or what you look like. All that matters is how you make people feel that when you're communicating with them. And that's very powerful. And I know you're really good at bringing those qualities out in the people that you prepare for media. So how did you go mm-hmm. from being the guest and the person interviewing and everything else to, you know, helping other people, other business owners, especially business women? How did you go from you know, doing what you were doing to suddenly wanting to share these secrets with business women?
I think when I was building my business, I felt like I was going it alone. So I also created, one of the first ones I did was a dog lover's business. And that's really what started getting me on the other side of the camera too, or the one being interviewed. And so as I was going through all that, or moving back to Indiana is, you know, I saw some other people somewhat struggling with that or not feeling as comfortable. And I think it just took its natural course, but I thought, well, I can give them a few tips before they go on air, or, hey, here's a couple of tips. You know, if you pitch it this way, that might get the producer's attention more easily. So I think it was just by realizing, okay, I do have some of this skill set to help make things look better. So, for instance, one was I was just doing these videos twice a month about tips for women in business, and we would meet at this person's location. And so there were a number of us, like 10 or 12 of us doing this for somebody else's website. And I saw this other lady doing hers, and I just kind of, you know, at first it's one of those things where you think to yourself, like, that top's really not, it's not good for camera. You know, and then you think, oh, I don't really want to say anything, or should I say something, or how do I tactfully say something? And then I just realized, well, my other business is bringing together businesswomen once a month in my group, and that's all about sharing with one another, right, and lifting each other up. So I just mentioned to her, I said, you know, I think I could help you more with your on-camera presence and whatnot. So it really kind of, I'd say she was probably my first client in that, and then it just grew from there. And it was amazing. I ended up taking her shopping. I didn't really envision that this would be part of it, but we spent the afternoon shopping, but was very efficient within, actually we probably only spent an hour and a half, got her about 10 different items that just made a whole other brand image presentation and more in line with what she wanted to look like, you know, on camera. So it just seemed like it enhanced her qualities. I think I could tell that she then seemed more confident in what she was saying, and it just really upped her whole level. So I think a lot of times when we just, whatever it is that people do, that when you know, hey, that comes easy for me, and that's something you want to share with others, then, you know, if you don't, you're missing out on opportunity, and they're also not getting the advantage or the opportunity to take it up another notch. So it's really like we need each other. So it's not a way to look at it as, oh, I'm just trying to make a sale here, right? But it's more of helping one another, and it goes both ways, that both walk away as winners.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love that. We need each other. Absolutely. You know, when I'm doing a lot of sales trainings with people, one of the exercises I do is I help them recognize their unconscious beliefs that they have to things like, I'll say, when you hear the word salesperson, what words come to mind? Or when you hear the word customer, what words come to mind? And people will say, you know, when you think of salespeople, you think of them as pushy, arrogant, right? Only care about the money. Right, when they talk about customers, buyers are liars and never satisfied. And then I remind them that they are salespeople and customers. And mm-hmm. that if you have these beliefs that these people are a pain in the butt, you're not going to want to go hang out with them more. You're not going to want to serve them more. You're not going to want to win for them and take a stand for them. You're going to want to subconsciously get away from them. And that's why a lot of people aren't very successful. And so... and they don't even know they have these beliefs, or that these beliefs are guiding them at an unconscious level. So when you say we need each other, right, we are in this together, and the importance of I love how you said it, if something comes natural for you, that's one of your gifts. And a lot of times people think, well, no one's going to care about that, or no one's going to be interested in that, or no one's going to pay me for that. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people that if you can solve a particular problem, they're going to want you to help them solve it. And it just makes sense. And if you hold back, you're robbing you and that person of the opportunity.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you said it very well. You gave a great, more scientific description. Isn't
that I'm just good
at... yeah, it's like we think we kind of know what it is that we want to say, and then you back it all up with science. So that was wonderful.
Well, I'm good at recapping what brilliant people say.
Oh, but you give it legitimacy, so I appreciate that. Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of other people feel that way too. And I think it comes down to, again, trusting your gut, right? Like your gut says, oh, you should do that. Go say something to them. Oh, but I don't know. That might look weird.
Right.
Or it might be odd. Or how am I going to say that? Yeah. So, yeah, that's great. Cause you, again, you just give legitimacy to it's good. It's fine. We just be bold and have courage and go do it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I've learned is that if you want to be a top influencer, you have to get out of your own way and have the courage to, you know, express yourself and share feedback. And in a world where people, you know, are really having these assumptions that you can't trust anybody, when you come in with good intentions and openly and honestly share feedback with others, what they tend to do is respect it and appreciate it, as long as they know that you're coming from a good place. So, you know, in there's a great book called Crucial Conversations, and it says that to be a good communicator, you really need to be, you know, good at two things, being direct and being compassionate. So a lot of people are not direct, and as a result, they miss out on the opportunity, like you said, and or other people are very direct, like you probably had that experience in New York, you know, where people are very direct. I have a lot of New Yorker friends that they're very direct, but the compassionate side is sometimes wanting. And so you've got to have both to be a really effective communicator. So if you want to stand out and influence people, you've got to have the courage to share how you're really taking it. I think that's the secret that I've had. I coach a lot of CEOs and company presidents, and I really believe that one of the reasons they keep me around is because I'm the opposite of a yes man. I'm going to call them out and tell them what I think. And share feedback, and sometimes I'll do it in front of a group, sometimes I'll do it on the side, you know, and the best leaders, they welcome it. They take it in, they don't let their ego get in the way, and they set an amazing example for other people in their company to be open to positive feedback.
Wow. Well, you know, if you came for at least one nugget, there it was, right there. that was worth listening to and continuing to listen to, but that even right there, you're so on when the directness and being compassionate, those two things team together.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
So I know you're very creative. It's hard to show on a podcast where people are listening, but I just want listeners to know that I had Cheryl come in and redo my office, and it was amazing in like 10 minutes how she completely turned the place around, and I loved it. I was like so impressed. So she's already made a difference in my life and in my business. So let's segue just for a minute or two, because I know we're running out of time here, but you know, do you have any helpful tips if somebody wants to get on TV or they want to spread their message through some kind of publicity, free publicity, getting on TV or radio? Any suggestions for them?
Oh yeah, I've got lots of suggestions. I'll try to give a few here now, and then I even have a takeaway that they can certainly get from me as well, like a download, some media secrets. But first of all, knowing that you definitely can get media coverage, and it's much better when you're the one pitching them the story ideas so that you're proactive rather than being reactive.
Nice.
It's always a better place to be. But everybody has the potential to get local media, national media, international media. It's all there. They all need content, no matter how big or small. So it's definitely attainable. But I always encourage people to do as much small media as you can ahead of time, so that when the big one comes, or big ones come, that you're just more seasoned. Because it can be a little scary and nerve-wracking. As much TV as I've done, I still get nervous. You know, to go on somebody's TV show, because we always want to feel like we're saying the right thing or looking the best we can that day, right? Or you want to make sure you maximize those couple of minutes you have. But the first thing I usually tell people is create yourself a pitch. So when you are proactive, that the pitch is really more or less how to get yourself on. And it's different than a news release. A news release is much more factual. They follow a particular format. And they can be effective, but not as effective these days, I think, as the pitch. Because the pitch is you're giving them a story idea. So when you can go even another step or two beyond what a press release can offer, now you're making their job a lot easier. And anything you can do to make the media's job easier, they will welcome you. They will call you probably more often than somebody else because now you're appearing more media savvy. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing that the media wants to know, that A, you're trustworthy, mm-hmm. that you're actually credible. You are probably an expert in your field. You kind of get what it is that how TV works. So all those things about a pitch level or a pitch letter, I think it puts leaps and bounds ahead of the general public who might think like, oh, yeah, I have to do a press release, right? So it gives them more of an idea that you get what a story is about, and there's got to be an angle to the story. So that's probably the biggest one I could encourage people to do. And then, you know, later if people do need help in crafting, okay, what does that pitch letter look like? I certainly go in depth with people on that one-on-one or however, but even this checklist I'm giving people today, I kind of break that down as to what that looks like and what would be included in a pitch letter.
Well, I have that media secrets checklist from you that I've gotten before, and it's excellent. So I love how simple it is. You break it down. You make it feel comfortable because a lot of people, you know, I've done TV. I've been on over 60 programs now myself. And
wow.
When I first started out, I was scared to death, right? I was nervous and quivering and thinking I was a hot mess on the inside. And then I'd go watch the show because, of course, I recorded it. And I go watch the show, and I'm like, oh, I look better than I felt. And happens is we make it so much bigger than it really is, because at the end of the day, when you walk in there, you're nervous because you care. And when you go in there, you forget about the camera and you have a conversation with someone across from you, and you imagine that they have the need that you can, you know, the problem that you can solve, and you just give them a couple quick tips. So the advice that you just gave is so important. And I can see why you shared that one, because, you know, everybody's busy, but I don't know anybody that's more busy than maybe a working mom and a TV producer, because
<Right. laughs>
because you are just running, and you've been both, right? And so doing with the reporting and a mom and everything else. And so you know how important it is to make people's lives easier. And if you show up with a relevant pitch, a lot of people are just like in the beginning, you can tell the newbies, because they're like, hey, I'm brilliant and I'm wonderful and I can save the world and you should have me on your TV program. And it's like, next. Right? To really stand out, you show up adding value. Hey, this is happening in the news. This is the angle that I have. This is the catchy, you know, headline. And, you know, this is how we can back it up. And you don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have 10 best-selling books. You just have to have a good hook, you know, a good headline and some really quality content. And like you said, start with the smaller shows. And, you know, jump on some podcasts where nobody's really listening and practice, and then build up your skills. So like you said, that when you those bigger opportunities arrive, you're prepared for them. So that's really good. And people are always, this is always something, and I think you could probably validate this, something that made me feel comfortable when I was really going after that free press and free advertising, is that producers need your content. They are hungry mm-hmm. for it. Sometimes we think, oh, they get, you know, so many submissions, I'll get lost in the shuffle and nobody's really going to care what I think. And that kind of fear is what blocks people from getting what they want. You know, you got to turn that around. Fear, remember, finding excuses and reasons. You got to turn that around to feeling excited and ready. And you do that by saying, you know what, they need my content. They have to fill an hour or sometimes a whole day with news and stories every single day. And they
and
need
multiple times a day.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Multiple times even. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they need your story. They need your information. They need your knowledge. They need it. And even if it's, you know, they've heard it a million times, they need it spun in a different way. right? They need it through your perspective and through the flavor that you give it. So, you know, go. Go and do it. Get it done. Make it happen. Share your value and make the world a better place. So, Cheryl, how would people go about getting that Media Secrets, I call it the cheat sheet, you know, your checklist. How can somebody get it from you?
They can go to my website, which is successfulwomenmadehere.com, and then it's /media checklist. I'm happy to share that with them, and as you mentioned, that way they have the tools and the steps, basically, of right, creating that hook and writing that pitch letter and how will they get on. And so much of what you said was true about that the media really has so much time to fill, more time than ever. I mean, it started out years ago. There was just the 6 o'clock news and maybe a 10 o'clock news, right? Now there's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 10, the 11, the noon, the morning. The morning now goes on to like 3 hours. So it's amazing how much time that needs to be filled. And that's even just TV news. I mean, everybody now is doing a podcast and or there are blogs on their websites and magazines that are still need articles that they have to print. So there's so many opportunities for a person to be seen and heard. The biggest thing, too, is so not only do they have these multiple times during the day, especially in news, that they need to fill, but they're under tight deadlines. So the easier you can make it for them to be available or to go at a moment's notice and, you know, understand if you've got to be at work or this or that, but that mainly that you're ready, that you're prepared. So when they do call, because when they do call, they might need you like later that day. I remember when I was a news reporter and a lot of times I would be calling. I worked a day shift. So, you know, I start calling at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm working on either the noon or the 6 o'clock. And wow. So I would call people and say, okay, you know, this was happening. I think we can tie this to what you do. Can you speak on this? And they're like, yeah, sure. And I say, okay, we'll be there in 30 minutes. And they're like, well, I was thinking maybe on Thursday. You know, they're thinking 3 days from now. I'm like, no, this, like, I have to get this interview written and edited and ready to go on the air by 6. Like, you know, they're really tight deadlines. I still sometimes even have dreams or nightmares. I don't know which one they are, but of like, oh my God, I'm going live and I'm not ready. You know, I know a lot of times it's easy to bash the media or think that they didn't get it right or they misquoted, but so often it's just, oh my God, they're under such tight deadlines. You have to be a master or an expert at different subjects every day, so you're just doing what you can to cut through all the clutter and tell the most concise story you can, and 1 minute and 30 seconds is even like the normal runtime of a news story. So, anything you can do to make their life easier and to be, like I said, the main thing that the takeaway from this is be prepared, be ready to go. So whether it's 3 days from now or at a moment's notice, you snag that opportunity.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's so good. I think that right there for anybody that wants to be on TV or radio, what you just said there, you gave the perspective of the people that you're pitching to, right? That's amazing that you're calling at 9 o'clock to, you know, to do a piece and, you know, I'll be there in a half hour. I mean, that's intense. And so when you send a couple emails, you know, pitching your stuff and nobody replies, it's not because they're ignoring you. It's because they're probably in the middle of a story right now. And so,
it's a very high pressure job. Yeah, it's exciting. And as I mentioned, that glamorous side earlier, but it's high pressure as well. And, you know, people do it because they love it and love telling the stories. But, you know, every day there will be the news on at noon. There will be the news on at 5. So
yes.
That, you know, people tune in and it's happening whether you're ready or not. So, so whatever you can do or, you know, I just hope that people get the opportunities because then if they can't reach you, they'll be reaching somebody else and you don't want them reaching your competition. But,
right.
I'm happy to share that checklist. It was just, again, successfulwomenmadehere.com/media checklist. I do share it with men and women, so you don't have to be a woman there to have access to that.
Now, Cheryl just demonstrated another little golden nugget for all of you that want to be on TV. remember, your job is to tell the story and promote yourself, but you can't promote yourself until you've given tremendous value on your minute or two that you're going to be on television. And the media, they do not have to put any of your information out there. A lot of times they'll put it on the chyron, they'll put it on the bottom of the TV screen, like your talking points or your website URL, but they don't always do that. So sometimes after you've given value, you just kind of, drop what you want them, what you want people to do, and you got to get it in there. And Cheryl just did. She gave us tremendous value today and then made sure that we keep hearing that successfulwomenmadehere.com /or /, whatever you call it, media checklist, which I will have on my website as well at timshere.com/podcast. So you can definitely get that checklist. I would definitely do that because it's really, really good. So, Cheryl, this has been wonderful. Again, great ideas. I was excited to have you on the show. I knew you were going to deliver. Let me ask you, we'll close the show with one more question. Based mm-hmm. on all the information that you have and all the things that you've been through in your life, because you've had so many experiences, if you could go back in time and you could tell that 10-year-old little girl that you once were, give her some good advice, like maybe the best advice that you've learned, that could empower her in her life, what would you tell her?
Wow. Well, first, I think I would tell her to go buy stock in Apple and Disney. And then once she gets that money aspect out of the way, don't you wish you could do that sometimes? Like when you were nine, like somebody breathed into your, there's going to be this Apple company and go buy stock.
That is so funny.
Other than that, the other thing is, I think, whether you're 9 or 29 or 79, and something I have to remind myself even today is that to tell yourself you are so capable. You got this. And I don't know how everybody else grew up, but I was I came from a very loving family, but I was never taught or encouraged that, I could go out there and do it. Now, whether that was a girl being versus a boy, I don't know. I came from, my dad's a farmer, my mom is a housewife. My mom's biggest advice always to myself and my sisters was marry a doctor. And then I even just caught her, like in the last month, saying to my daughter, she didn't tell her to marry a doctor, but she told her, honey, marry somebody rich. So it's kind of funny how those, it's just a different time, a different era. But I want everybody to know is that you can do it. You don't have to wait on somebody else, right. or just live somebody else's life, that, you can do it. And I don't know that I knew that then. I just kind of played softball and did 4-H and what have you. And then until I discovered that, I kind of like this. But, whether you have somebody encouraging you or not, I guess the main thing is, then we got to be our biggest encouragers ourselves. We got to be the ones then to tell ourselves or go out there and get that coaching or that training that we need, and having people in our corner who remind us that, we can do this. So if it's just some tools and tricks of the trade that you need to gather, then it's possible. So to not let anything hold you back and just know that, if there's something you've been wanting to do, now is the time.
Cheryl Mathis, everybody. Go to successfulwomenmadehere.com/media checklist. Thanks so much for being on the program today, Cheryl. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make today a sure success. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you really enjoyed it, please subscribe and share it with your friends. And if you want more psychological secrets for making your business and your life a sure success, go to timshere.com/newsletter and join our family of achievers who are living their dreams and making the world a better place. Check it out now and make your life a sure success.